stiff arm. Gore cuts it inside. Frank Gore is still going. Touchdown, San Francisco.
Two from the 40, couple of tight ends, receiver right and Adrian. Hand off Adrian. Scoots loose up the middle. Across the 30, to the 20, inside the 10. Touchdown!
First down and 10, Johnson. Gets a shoulder square. Watch out! He's got getting away from the top speed! Touchdown!
Welcome in to episode 19 of Grinding the Edge here on South Harmon. I'm your host, Koopa, and you can find me on X at Dynasty Koopa and on Discord at KoopaTroopa8. Want to talk to me and other smart people about fantasy? Make sure to join the South Harmon Patreon at patreon.com/South Harmon. If you join the pregame pooper tier and get access to the Wrinkled Brain channel, that's where I'll talk about a lot of data stuff that I pull. Sometimes we'll have conversations there about just random ideas that we have, and I'll delve into my database and see if I can find something. Sometimes those conversations, whether it's there or one of the other channels on the Discords, becomes the basis for a podcast episode. So if you aren't already there, go ahead, go to Patreon and sign up. Also, if you haven't heard, we have a partnership with Ultimate Autographs. At Ultimate Autographs, you can sign up for live prize breaks for all sorts of amazing sports memorabilia. If you haven't gone into Ultimate Autographs and checked it out and see the kinds of things that you can win, you need to go there and check it out. If you use the code HARMON15 and you use our referral link at signedshit or signedsh.it, you're going to get 15% off your order. So once again, go to signedshit, signedsh.it, check out what they have to offer, and use the code HARMON15 at checkout to get 15% off your order. Before I get into today's episode topic, I want to give a shout out to anybody that is here right now at the Fantasy Football Expo. I'm recording this the Sunday before I leave, but if you are right here at the Expo and you haven't already reached out to me to be like, hey, I want to meet up, I want to meet you, tweet at me, message me on Discord, do something. I absolutely want to meet everybody who's here. If you don't remember it from 2 minutes ago, it's Dynasty Koopa on X and KoopaTroopa8 on Discord. If you're somebody that listens to these episodes regularly, you're somebody that likes data, that likes the theory of fantasy football, and not necessarily focusing in on the specific players. You like the macro strategies, and those are the kinds of things that I love to talk about. So absolutely, come find me, talk to me. I just want to meet everyone that thinks in a similar way that I do. On to this week's normal episode content. What I am going to talk about this week is a follow-up to last week. Last week I talked about going through all my leagues and talking about my money expectation and things like that. This week I'm going to talk about the flip side of the teams that I'm trying to push in, the ones that I'm trying to push out. What am I attempting to do? How am I trying to tank more effectively, but still do it in a dynasty-focused way? So the number one main thing that I'm doing is I'm starting with all the teams that I went through my simulator, and I'm just taking every single one that had a placement of eighth or worst, and I am just saying I am not going to even try to push in any of these teams this year. If I am sitting there in eighth place right now, it means I don't have what I need on this team in order to try and compete. And at this point in the offseason, if I haven't made moves to grab veterans, they're just going to get more and more expensive as time goes on. So I don't need to do that. I'm just going to stay out of that market. And instead, I'm going to try and make sure that either I earn the 101 in all of these leagues, or that I'm at least verifying that nobody is going to give me the value for the players on my team that I think they're worth. So how do I sell players? My list of 19 teams that are not competitive for this coming year. That's an awful lot. And it's not going to be feasible for me to go through every single league, identify the top teams in every single one. I just need to offload some of these players, and especially the ones that are older veterans now, and rely on the fact that I know how to set a good price. So this episode, if you are not already familiar with the concept, is going to be all about the auto accept trade block. And I'm going to specifically talk about how I approach doing it and how I get deals done. did my initial league analysis now 4 days ago, as of this episode's recording. And in those 4 days, I've gone through a bunch of these leagues, set auto-accept trade blocks, and gotten a lot of deals done. And I've had quite a few people come to me and say, hey, thank you for having a reasonable auto-accept trade block. How am I setting a reasonable one? And how am I making sure that I'm not screwing something up and not messing my team up for the future? So the way I'm doing it is because I have 19 leagues to go through and set all these auto-accept trade blocks. I don't have 19 days to really spend going through each of them one by one. So I'm actually making a target of a minimum 2 per day to get this done. And realistically, I'm trying to push more towards 3. So those of you that are in a lot of leagues with me have noticed I've been setting a lot of auto-accept trade blocks. And the reason I'm only doing 2 or 3 a day is because I'm taking my time making sure I'm setting the right values. The first thing that I'm trying to do, anytime I open up any league, even looking at a trade offer that I receive, is I always pop open the warp, I pop open the simulator, and I just check and see, hey, what's my standing? What do scoring settings look like in this league? Are any of the players that could be involved in this deal somebody that might have value different than normal? And the same goes when you're setting a trade block. You don't want to ask for too much or too little based on the scoring settings of your league. In the vast majority of your leagues, it's not going to be that different than average. You could probably go on to something like Keep Trade Cut, just take the equivalent draft pick value from there and just slap it in and call it good enough. But that's not what we try to do here on Grinding the Edge. We're trying to extract the exact right amount of value from every single league. We aren't trying to put prices too high. We aren't trying to put prices too low. We're trying to put them as high as possible where they will still get done, where everyone will still agree, you know, that was fair. Maybe it wasn't necessarily either side was winning the deal, but it can be a win-win if the team that needs that player now gets them and you who don't need that player get rid of them. So that's what I'm attempting to do with all these auto-accept trade blocks. And I focus in on the warp of the league. I focus in on the actual standings of this league. Okay, how badly do I want to get rid of this player? Is there somebody in this league that is an absolute monster at the top? If there's somebody that's a monster and they have a ton of young players, I'm just kind of willing to get rid of just about anyone. And yeah, I'll set good prices for everyone, but I'm not going to hold anyone off of the auto accept trade block. Same thing goes if I am well out of contention. I have some of these teams where I am ranked 12th in the entire league. I don't have much draft capital in the way of 25 or 26 firsts. Usually this is because of picking up orphans in various South Harmon leagues or various other leagues off of like Reddit or something like that. And the thing that I'm trying to do there is understand I need to not have anybody. I can't be attached to anyone, because any player that I am attached to in 2 to 3 years, when I'm even considering having enough value to maybe start turning this team around, any of those players could be dead at that point. But what's the one thing that won't be dead? Draft picks. So I need to make sure my prices are set reasonably, such that somebody who is reasonable and says, I want this player, is actually willing to give the draft picks. So I go through and I want to start actually setting prices. So I pull up the My Team page on Sleeper and I start going down the list. Now the important thing here is that you don't want to clog up your league with 50 million Koopa Troopa has updated their player nicknames messages. Because if you do that 20 times, people are going to get bored by the fifth one and they aren't going to pay attention. So the way I like to do it is to do it all in one go. If I am updating any player nicknames for any auto accept trade blocks, I am going to update every player on my team. And sometimes that means I get 20 players through And then I'm like, crap, I need to check something in this league. And I will have to back out of the update menu. I will go do whatever research I need to do. I will go back in, re-enter all 19 players that I did before. And then I will enter that 20th player and keep moving on. The reason I want to do that is because I want to make it easy for anybody to check all the players at once. I don't want somebody to see it, pull it up, see half the players, and think that's it. And then they see their sleeper notification a little while later, and they're like, oh yeah, I already looked at Koopa's auto-accept trade block. I don't need to look at it again. And then they miss out on potentially something they were interested in. Or I don't want somebody to just be tuned out and see one come through and then another and then another, and they're like, oh, Koopa's just basically spamming the league with this. I'm not really going to pay that much attention. I have a predefined set of rules that I'm saying for these auto accept trade blocks, but that would kind of be rule number one. Do it all at once. Just make sure that you're making the update and it's all in one go. And you need to have a plan going into that. Hopefully you are at the point of, I understand all the players in the NFL. I know what their generic value is. I know how people are going to value them in Dynasty relative to other players at their position. And so when I am going through this specific league, as long as I give myself a primer of, these are the league settings, this is how that might change values in this specific league, this is the league's market, the kinds of teams that are competing or not competing, you're able to set reasonable prices for that league. If you set reasonable prices, you should have some bites really quickly. The thing that I noticed in almost every single league that I did this was that I was getting trade offers usually within half an hour of me putting up the trade blocks. No matter what time I was putting them up either. Some of them I put up at like 9 in the morning. Some of them I put up at 11 p.m. And I was still getting trade offers pretty soon after I was putting it up. The important thing to do at this point is to not accept them immediately. You want to give a little bit of time for everyone to actually look at your options on your auto accept trade block. There's going to be some people that don't look at it at all, and that's fine. But I had a few leagues where I had interest in the same player. Where there was one of my leagues where with Saquon Barkley. And what it was I had put on my auto accept trade block Saquon Barkley for any first. All right. The other thing is, I put up specifically any first because I do not have a problem in any of these teams where I am absolutely dead last place saying, I'm fine taking 26 first, 27 first, whatever. I don't care because that's still accumulating draft capital on my team. The 25 first, especially for a lot of these leagues where they've been around for a little while, they're already spoken for. I can't say I'm only willing to do it for a 25 first, because then I'm limiting the number of teams that I'm actually willing to trade for. There's a couple players where, like, yeah, I might say a 25 first or a future first and a third or something along those lines. But that's few and far between. For the most part, I'm just saying any first. So I ended up getting two trade offers that were Saquon Barkley for a 26 first. And the reason I was able to get two of them was because I held it open. If I had immediately taken the first offer was Saquon Barkley, Joshua Palmer, and Mike Williams, and I would have accepted that, and I wouldn't have gotten to go through this process with the second manager. And what happened was the second manager, I told him, I was honest, I said, hey, I got another offer that I like better, because frankly, I was more willing to bet against that second team, because this team that I was talking with, I thought had a better team, especially when it came to what the value of this 26 first was going to be. And both managers had Saquon Barkley and had Mike Williams in their trades. So already I'm like, okay, I need to know that I can only accept one of these. The one manager's offering me some for Joshua Palmer, but he just put it all into one deal because that's what I asked for, and he's interested in having all three players. So what happens? I tell him, hey, I need a little bit extra. Realistically, if you're just willing to give me an extra third, or in this case, because it was a first and two thirds, I said you can bump your two thirds into a second, and that will be enough for me, and I'll turn around to the other manager and see if he's willing to match. And he said, you know what? No, I don't necessarily want to do that, but now that we're here talking, are you looking just for picks? And I'm like, no, I'm not necessarily just looking for picks. I'm looking to get some of this older value off my team because I know I'm not competitive in 2 to 3 years. And what's Saquon Barkley in 2 to 3 years? He's not worth near as much as he's worth now. So it's better for me to turn that into something else that will maintain value over a couple of years. Now's where it starts really becoming a discussion. The other manager, he's been thinking about tearing down off of Justin Jefferson. And my team, I have some pieces. I have Cooper Kupp. I have Chris Olave. I can do some stuff here to offer up some pieces that might be beneficial to his team and give him some value for that Justin Jefferson. And I can still accumulate a bunch of this younger value back. It's not necessarily the direct. I put up Cooper Kupp for a first. And in my mind, I value Justin Jefferson in this league about like two firsts and like I'd call it like 1.5 seconds. So maybe like two firsts, a second, and a third. So I'm playing off those values in my head and I'm like, okay, how about we start trying to work something out? And I propose something crazy at first. He has said that he's potentially interested in Justin Herbert. So I'm like, all right, Justin Herbert, Cooper Kupp, Saquon Barkley, and Josh Palmer. For Justin Jefferson, Brandon Ayuk, who he happened to have labeled as on his trade block, his 26 first and his 25 second. This is all coming out of an initial, I just put a bunch of values on a trade block, and he showed interest in literally Saquon Barkley and Josh Palmer. All right, that's it. That's all that's gone into this. And now we're having a discussion of this magnitude, all because I was just open and said, hey, this is the situation. You aren't the high bidder. And if we want to work something out differently, let's try to work something out differently. And so we go through, we discuss, we go back and forth a couple times, and we eventually get to the point of completely changing the deal. And all of a sudden, now I am sending him Cooper Kupp, Justin Herbert, Josh Palmer, Travis Etienne, and Mike Williams. And I'm getting back Justin Jefferson, Brandon Ayuk, a 26 first and a 25 second. So I'm getting back pieces that allow me to get younger or get into assets that are much safer in the long run. The main thing that I'm giving up, yes, I'm giving up Justin Herbert. But this is where you have to talk about your motivation in terms of doing things. I am motivated to sell a little bit of my Justin Herbert because of the number of shares that I have. This discussion in just him bringing up that he was interested in Justin Herbert was a portfolio move for me. I, at the beginning, before this trade, had 2 shares of Justin Herbert. And realistically, Justin Herbert is somebody that, at the moment, with his current value, where I could reasonably ask for almost 3 firsts for him, I am trying to get out of as much Justin Herbert as I can. So that way I'm expecting to be able to buy back in later at a potentially closer to a 2 first price point. So knowing this, as soon as he shows interest in Justin Herbert, I don't need to actually have Justin Herbert on this team. I'm not competing. And yes, it's hard to get a top tier quarterback, but I am okay getting rid of Justin Herbert now to get some value that I can then use later. And sure, I'm going to have to pay an arm and a leg to get a top tier quarterback again. If I want to get a quarterback in the last year Justin Herbert range, then I'm going to have to pay the amount that I'm selling him for now. But the important thing is that I recognize this team, I don't need Justin Herbert. I don't need him for 2 or 3 years. I'm not competitive for 2 to 3 years. I don't have the capital on my team to be able to do it. And so realistically, if I just turn it into as much value holding kinds of players or picks as I can, then that is a bonus to me. So I go through and I end up making that deal. And you know what's awesome about that deal? Is it ends up being that I don't trade away Saquon Barkley. I mentioned how it changed to Herbert and Kupp and Palmer and Mike Williams and Travis Etienne. So I'm getting the value out of a different running back because I swapped him around, and it somewhere in when we were talking back and forth, we swapped in Travis Etienne. Now I can go back to that first manager that offered me the auto accept trade block, and right after I accept this massive deal, the only thing I had to do was cut out Mike Williams from his trade and send it back to him. Now, all of a sudden, just through setting an auto-accept trade block, getting a little bit of discussion going, I have managed to sell both Saquon Barkley and Travis Etienne, two running backs that realistically are not going to be in my 2 or 3 year plan and boosting my points and whatever in a league that I need to start tanking to the bottom. I get good value out of both of them, just off of setting some reasonable prices. Setting a first as the price for these running backs, which if you've been listening to any of the South Harmon stuff, you know that getting a first for these running backs, it's a good process move. Mike might tell you, I can't do that, but he also tells you it's the right process move. He's just a big Eagles fan. And that's what I accomplish here. I'm just getting first for running backs, and I will turn that value into something else in the future. But now I have 326 firsts. I have the potential to get more. Plus, I also have some assets that people are more likely to be wanting during the season, in Justin Jefferson and Brandon Ayuk. It's going to be harder for people to go after assets that are on the downturn, but top-tier wide receivers are always something that people are looking for. And so I can just hold on to those guys, or if they get hurt, no harm, no foul, I am more than fine to let them sit for a year, recover, and come back the following year. So, overall, this not only helps me tank my team, I get a bunch of draft capital, I get a bunch of value. I am loving this one specific league. And I did this in a bunch of my leagues. I think I've gone through 7 or 8 of them now, and I'm probably going to do a couple more after I finish recording this episode. And all I'm trying to do is extract the right amount of value. And I tell some people, hey, I see your offer. I'm waiting 12 hours in order to let other people see it. And then the other thing that happens is you accept that first trade and other offers come in. Something I've realized through doing this is when I am going through and accepting these offers, sometimes I get an offer where it's a single player for a third or something like that. That's all they're interested in. That is the kind of offer that I like to lead with. I like to accept that one. Just show, hey, everyone, because everyone checks the league when you see a trade has been completed. So do that. And right above it is they see the ending of my auto accept trade block. And now everyone scrolls up. And I'm going to call out Mike because I saw Mike do this in multiple of my leagues over this past 4 days, is I accepted a trade and then 3-4 minutes later, I see trade offer from McNutted. And that's just because he didn't pay attention to the fact that I set an auto accept trade block. But now that he knows it's there, he spent a couple minutes, poured through it and went, oh, I like these prices. Let me send Koopa an offer for these players. Boom, get another trade done right off that. So if I can always have the opening trade acceptance be something pretty minor, that just shows everyone else, hey, there's something going on in this league. There might be some activity. And that's what I've seen in all the leagues. In almost every single league that I have posted an auto accept trade block, there's been an uptick of activity, whether it's in the chat, whether it's in other trades being done. We're in the time of year now, at the beginning of August, where everyone's starting to tune back in. Everyone's starting to realize, hey, I need to figure out where my team is at. And the beginning of August is also the perfect time for everyone to be a little more delusional in thinking that their team is going to be able to compete. And so if you're willing to say, I'm out, I'm done, I'm not even going to try competing this year, you can win that race to the bottom, be the first to the bottom, and be able to be in a good position. And the important thing is to not box yourself out. If you've got a league where you just came off the startup, most people have their 25 firsts already. You can ask for 25 firsts, and that probably opens you up to 9 or 10 of the other managers in the league. But if you're in a league that's been around for a little while, especially a lot of the South Harmon leagues that I'm in, they're in either year 2 or even year 3. A lot of these teams have already pushed in everything up through 26. So most teams have their 27 picks, but there's some that don't even have that they've already shoved that in. And so when you're trying to ask for picks, you want to try and leave it as open as possible. You need to understand that, hey, a league that has been around longer is going to have a little bit longer of a turnaround time because everyone is already set in their ways. They've already made their commitments to the future seasons. So if you're trying to extract any value out of anybody that's remaining, you need to keep it as open as possible for them. Rather than saying, I want a 25 second or a 20 or 2 25 thirds. Be willing to say, I want 2/3. I don't care which. Sometimes people will offer me a 25 and a 26. Sometimes it'll be 2 26s. Sometimes it'll be a 25 and a 27. Like, I don't care. I just want 2/3 of value. And that's all I'm trying to extract, because I know not everybody has 2 25/3 to give. Heck, if everyone had 2 25/3 to give, our third round would be 24 picks long, not 12. And when it's been around 3 years, probably half those picks are already on teams that aren't inclined to sell them at all anyway. And so I've limited myself down to 6 potential teams that can even give me the offer that I'm asking for from my players. So I need to make sure every single one of these I'm going through, making sure it's possible for my league mates to give me what I'm asking for. I don't want to limit the number of teams that can give me what I'm asking for just because I am being too stingy on a year number. So if you're listening to this right now and you went through last week, you found all your teams and you started pushing them in for, these are the teams that I'm going to try and get to be the number one or number two seed, try to up my money expectation in these leagues, get myself first round buys. I want you to now go through and find all your teams where you aren't doing quite so well. All those ones that are rebuilding. I noted last week how I have a lot more of these than I do teams that are competing this year. And that's fine. Just figure out where you're at and start setting up reasonable trade offers. Don't make them too much. I'm looking at you, T-Rock. Everyone looks at your auto accept trade blocks, and they are way too expensive for anybody to jump in on. You want to set them fair market prices. Don't be losing value on all of them. You aren't trying to get rid of these players just for the sake of getting rid of them. Set them to be reasonable prices. So when somebody looks at it and says, I've got a third sitting on my team, and you know what? I could really use myself an extra wide receiver shot of Mike Williams, or I've got 2/3. I could take a shot on Josh Palmer. They're willing to do it. They're willing to say, I'm not overspending. Like, nobody's going to give you a second for Josh Palmer right now. But 2/3? That kind of sounds reasonable. So that's my homework for you this week. Go through and take all of your simulator data that you just went through last week and just take one team a day. Set your auto accept trade blocks on that team. Make sure you do it all at once. Make sure you set and update your prices to based on your league market and based on your league scoring settings and things like that. Utilize all the tools you have available to you. If you like to evaluate leagues using other tools, whether it's Dynasty Nerds or Dynasty Daddy or the Lab or the Simulator or the Warp tool or whatever it is that you use, go through that process It doesn't need to be a full one. It doesn't need to be, hey, I'm preparing for a startup, because you aren't. Take 5 minutes, find out the landscape of your league, say, this is how I would adjust the values of every single position relative to each other, and then just run through your list. It should take you a whole, probably like 15 minutes or so, to go through any one specific league and just set the full auto accept trade block. And if you just run through, you do that once a day, you will get through all of your leagues, unless you're in a ton like me, in which case, you know, you're in a ton like me, do two or three. And you will be in a much better position for all these rebuilders to have a chance at getting the 101. Because a couple weeks ago, when I was talking about what it takes to win and what it takes to lose, the number one thing that I found was that being prepared before week one makes a huge difference. If you wait until week three and you're like, man, the first 2 weeks, I lost both of those. I really am not in a position to compete this year. You've already scored too many points that you need to go way under the other teams. And especially if you wait any longer than that. If you wait till week four, now you have to go so far under that you basically need to have no players on your team. And when everyone knows you're trying to get to the point of having no players, that's when you start losing value in trades. And we aren't trying to lose value. We're trying to get fair value. That's everything that I have for you this week. Once again, if you're at the Fantasy Football Expo and you haven't seen me yet, tweet at me, message me, do something. I absolutely want to meet you. And if you aren't at Expo and you just want to talk to me, contact me. Dynasty Koopa on Twitter and KoopaTroopa8 on Discord. I don't care whether I'm in a Discord channel with you. I don't care whether I've ever talked to you before or know who you are or anything like that. I am absolutely willing to talk to anybody out there that wants to talk fantasy football with me. That's everything that I have for us this week. And once again, stay sharp and keep grinding that edge. I'll see you next week.